You guys awake? Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. The reason that we changed and did the Res Week one this afternoon instead of the reason we switched them is because this one's much more interactive, and I felt like after lunch we need interactivity, right? So hopefully you guys will stay awake, enjoy some conversations in some small groups, and we're going to make this real fun as we just kind of walk through the next 45 or 50 minutes. This whole idea of something Campus Renewal believes in calls catalytic events. Specifically, we'll talk about Res Week, but it's beyond Res Week. It's any sort of catalytic event where we bring the whole body of Christ together for one giant event, to say we're going to bring the whole body of Christ to do an evangelistic event, to do a United Worship event, to do a collegiate day of prayer, to do a Res Week, to do a Veritas Forum, or whatever it would be on your campus. There's power that comes when we unite the body of Christ around a specific event. And so what I want you to do first is I want you to break up into a couple groups, maybe three, four in your group, and I want you to answer these two questions. I think they'll appear shortly on the screen. How have you been impacted by a catalytic event in your life? And what is your favorite catalytic event in the Bible? All right? So personally, think to yourselves, like, how have you personally been impacted by a catalytic event? This means not like a normal, regular church service, but some special event, a conference, a thing on your campus, something where you said, yeah, this one event changed my life. So share that in your group, and secondly, say, here's my favorite catalytic event in the Bible. All right, get in groups of three or four and have a 5 minutes of conversation. All right, let's try to come back together, guys. Did you learn a little bit about each other? Some cool events. Thinking specifically about the Bible one, and one word, so you probably are only going to be able to say one person's name or one event title's name. Just shout them out. What's a biblical Bible or biblical catalytic event that you like most? Wait, you got to yell louder. We're all going to. Pentecost, Elijah, Esther. Resurrection, that's cheating. Yeah. Sunday school answer. What else we got? Pentecost? Yep. The flood? Parting the Red Sea? Yep. Jehoshaphat? Yeah, help me think of some other kings. The wedding at Cana? Yep. What? Yep, dedication of the temple? Return of the Ark? Yeah, Samuel? Awesome. So you guys see that this is biblical, right? So really what we want to do is we want you guys to understand that there's great cause biblically for us to plan catalytic events, because throughout history, God's used them in different ways. And many of the events that you guys described were what I would call spontaneous events. We'll get into these in a moment, where there was a certain time when God just said, hey, you guys need to do this. And they planned the event because God put it on their heart, or God said, go do this, and they went and did it. But there was also, besides just spontaneous events, there was also calendared events that many of you guys know of. Like when you mentioned Pentecost, that was a calendared event because they were told that they were supposed to come before God three times a year. We're going to get into that in a minute. But first, I want to give you just a big, broad idea. As I look throughout all of Scripture and think about each different catalytic event, big ones, the small ones, I find that at least these number of these things happen. And everyone's a little bit different, but specific ones, these things happen. First is there is repentance and deliverance, which we're trying to do this with the iPad. So often in these catalytic events, one thing that happens is there's great repentance. Take like in Acts 19, when you see the in Ephesus, this catalytic event where there's just incredible repentance and deliverance and freedom from sin. That's one example. Another is worship or experiencing God. In Jehoshaphat's fight, they worship and they see God's deliverance. They experience God in a powerful way as he defeats their enemies. Worship or experiencing God. There's also spiritual warfare and change. That would also look to, you could look to the Jehoshaphat one. God tells them just to worship, and in their worship, they actually win the spiritual battle. You could think of maybe Aaron and Hur when they fight the first battle against the Amalekites when Egypt crosses the Red Sea, and Aaron and Hur are raising up Moses' hands and they win the battle through prayer. Sometimes catalytic events are spiritual warfare. Sometimes catalytic events are evangelism and salvation. We just see mass people come to the kingdom. Many people respond in faith. Take, of course, Pentecost in Acts 2. where thousands of people are added to their number. And finally, another thing would be that vision is imparted or calling. You'll see in these catalytic events in Scripture, sometimes God gives new direction. He imparts a vision or he sends people out. There's a calling. We could probably increase that list to other things, but at the very least, you could say, biblically, when we see catalytic events, these are many of the things that happen, things that God does in response to the people of God gathering together in prayer or worship or repentance or evangelism. These things happen. So we're going to talk a little bit about, that's the reason why we want to do these things. We're going to talk a little bit biblically about how God called Israel to do that. We're going to read some Psalms together and some small groups here in a minute as well. But before we do, I wanted to show you a little shot of our Res Week recap from our Res Week that we'd had this last year at the University of Texas, just to give you an example. And then I'm not going to pull out old photos of me, but I'm going to pull out old photos of the very first Res Week at UT 22 years ago. So let's watch the video first. We'll love that. It's our favorite week of the year. It's become a tradition because it's been a calendar event for 22 years, where now everyone just loves it. You talk to any UT student that's in their fellowship, that's not a freshman maybe, and they'll tell you this is the best week of the year because God moves in those ways that we just described. What I want to do is show you some, I want to show you some pictures from old Res Weeks. Did this kick back to the start of the slide? It looks like it did on mine. Okay, all right. We'll get you back now to show you one of the earliest Res Week photos. This was our first concert of prayer, and this is Burdine 106, so you UT students. And I have no idea how we printed that enormous thing. This is like back before when there probably wasn't even printers. But we had this wonderful first night of prayer, the first night of Res Week, 1995, where we actually had a whole night just focused on confession, where people came to the front and confessed their sins publicly at a microphone. It went on so long that UT kicked us out of the building and said, sorry, we got to lock up. You guys got to go. And that's how the first Res Week started. We had a play where we had like a kind of a passion play. So we've got some photos here that was a big barbecue that we had. This is, there's the barbecue. Now we've got the passion play. We had just a whole mob of actors and people that followed around the Jesus going to be crucified. And there is Jesus crucified on the West Mall. For you people who are familiar with UT. And then we had different artists. Lots of people got saved. So that's kind of what Res Week looked like at the first mall. And here's what Res Week looked like today. You can see a couple more photos as it's grown over the years. You can just click through those, Stephen. That's what God's doing now. A movement that's really grown as we've continued to press in. Let me take us to this scripture in Deuteronomy 16. It's one of my favorites. And it says that three times a year, all of your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place that I choose, at the Festival of Unleavened Bread, Festival of Weeks, Festival of Tabernacles. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord has blessed you. And this and a couple other scriptures in the law of, and from Exodus into Deuteronomy, God makes really clear that three times a year, all of Israel is to gather and unite together. They've got all these different tribes, but three times a year, they're to come together and worship. And I'm not saying that we can take this command and say this is true of us as a church. Like, okay, don't go back to your campus and go, see, the Bible says we're supposed to have three gatherings a year. It's not what we can do, but we can say at least that we know for sure that it's in God's heart. It's in God's heart that his people would gather together and unite and have these catalytic events. We know it's in God's heart because of all the stories that you just told. We can point to scripture and say, look what God did when they did unite. Look what God did when they united here. Look what God did when they united here. So we can point to examples where it's happened. And at the very least, we could point to the scriptures that we won't go into details, but if you were in Charlie's a seminar that he did here yesterday so well, the biblical precedence for unity, we could argue that this is one way that we display our unity, is by gathering together. It's not the only way. Campus Renewal would say we actually want to be really careful that we don't link too intricately our unity with our events. Events aren't what unify us. What unifies us is our relationship and our common vision to reach the campus. But events are an important symbolic part of our unity. And so at the very least, we can go back to our campuses and say, hey, it would be good for the whole body of Christ to unite in a catalytic event, a Res Week or some other event on our campus, because it pleases God's heart. We know he did it. We've seen it biblically throughout history. And when we see the commands to be unified, this at least seems one way that we can try to practice our oneness. That's what I would argue is the biblical basis for doing something like this. What I want to do, I did this last year, so forgive me for the folks who are on staff here. This may sound a little bit repetitive, but one of the things that's most inspiring to me, especially lately, when I think about unity and catalytic events, is to read the Psalms of Ascent. If you know that's from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, these were the actual psalms that the Israelites, when they gathered these times of year, they would read these psalms as they made their way to go worship together. And if you read these psalms with that mind and recognize like, oh, wow, like picture yourself making this long journey, saying, hey, we're going to all worship together as one body. And if you can read the psalms with that lens, they really come alive. And what I'm going to argue that what happens when we, What happens when we unite in worship, two primary things happen, I believe, that God does. He gives us a greater sense of corporate identity. When we do something like a Res Week or a United event, people walk away feeling like, man, we are one body. This is beautiful. There is one body of Christ on our campus. And the second thing happens is we get corporate vision from it. There's a sense where we walk away like, man, we could do more together than apart. And God speaks into it and gives us vision. So what I'm going to have you do in this next bit of time, I'm only going to give you like about 5 to 7 minutes because these psalms are pretty short. I'm actually going to let you just read these psalms by yourself right where you are, Psalm 120 to 134. And I want you to read it picturing yourself uniting together. You can maybe think on your campus, you're uniting together, or if you want to put yourself in their shoes, you're an Israelite and you're one of the 12 tribes and you're coming together to worship God at the temple and you're reading these psalms along the way. And as you read them, think, are they starting to get some sense of a corporate identity in this? Notice how many times they talk about Jerusalem and their care for Jerusalem. Notice how many times they talk about God's work and how God protects these people. And then think about the corporate vision that comes. So it's Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, and we'll give you about 7 minutes to read those. Cool? Right. Real briefly, if you can, what would be a particular verse or something overall that stood out to you as you tried that on, so to speak? Just talk loud so everyone can hear you. Great sense of unity, great sense of the land being theirs, and a greater sense of being one people called to one place. Yeah, excitement to go worship together. Yes. Dependence on God. Sense of permanence and call and going to one place. I gave some of you guys slips of paper, almost all of you. So this is going to be fun. I told you we're going to try to stay awake during this session. So I know it's after lunch. So here's what we're going to do to stay awake. Everyone who got a piece of paper, come start a line right here. And these, in essence, are the Psalms of Ascent of UT students as they come to Res Week. You can hear from them. These are just little snippets of stories that we've collected. And so this could be fun. Do we need to try to stand right here? Yeah. So try to stand here and face this way, and you're going to be all former UT students sharing your story. Just simply reading them, and we'll just run right through the line.
It was a pleasure to pray with a McCombs professor for his and his wife's marriage. He came to us in an incredible act of humility. It was such an encouragement.
While I was in the prayer tent, a young lady came in and we connected on a very deep level. She needed someone to talk to, and I was so happy that we could be there for each other and support each other. We're now friends, and I look forward to seeing her soon so we can sharpen each other as friends should.
Res Week truly gave me the opportunity to talk to other students on campus and see their view on how Christ is working in their lives through all the different ministries. God softened my heart this week and showed me that loving his world and people truly follows his will.
I was able to meet a student who was just hanging around there, who is not plugged in anywhere, but is open to learning Jesus through Bible study. We met for the first time this past Saturday.
A few months ago at a grocery store, I started a conversation with one of the cashiers, Farouk, who is from the Middle East and speaks Arabic, my major, and is also a student at UT, so we would chat from time to time if I went while he was working. Wednesday night after worship and the speaker, I volunteered for outreach and stayed about 15 minutes late and saw him walking by. He asked what Res Week was and said he would come for the speaker on Thursday. Thursday after worship, he stayed and talked with Jimmy from Hill Country Bible and asked a bunch of questions. He said the message blew him away. Growing up in the Middle East, he said that he never had the opportunity to hear a Christian speaker. Please pray that what he heard at Res Week will continue to speak to him and that he will be drawn closer to God.
A friend of mine was coming back from a test she didn't feel good about and was feeling discouraged in general about whether or not she really belonged at UT. She walked past Res Week, where a speaker was presenting, and decided to stop by. She was a Christian, but hasn't really attended church or any sort of additional spiritual events or groups since attending UT. She said that after listening to the speaker and worshiping, she felt a renewed sense of belonging and hope.
I was so encouraged in my short conversation with Christian, who was an agnostic and not sure what he believed about God. When he began asking me where he should start reading in the Bible if he wanted to learn more about Jesus, he agreed that he needed to know more about Jesus before he decided whether or not he was indeed our Savior, and promised me that he would read the Gospels.
My friend that I had been praying for about 3 years and prayed with people at Res Week for asked me if I wanted to read Mere Christianity with her. Please be praying for God to soften her heart and open her eyes.
During Res Week, I was able to talk to a Chinese international student who did not know anything about Jesus. She asked what Res Week is, and I was able to share the gospel with her for the first time. Afterwards, I was able to pray for her, and she said that it made her feel warm to see everyone come together for an event like Res Week.
God moved my heart to take action in really making a difference on campus by making Christ-centered laborers during my time here at UT. Especially since it is the time that I am most influential and the time that I have the most opportunities to do so.
I wasn't able to come out to any of the Res Week nights, but I was able to enjoy being a part of the creation of an art piece that expresses the peace of Christ with a friend.
There is a phase I've heard There is a phrase I've heard several times about just planting the seed and trusting God will do the rest. I was privileged to work the hospitality booth for an hour during Res Week, and it was so great to take just an hour of my day to serve others. I actually looked strangers in the eye and told them good morning, asked how their day was going. I got to talk to one girl just about what Res Week was and why we were standing out there giving out free coffee, and she seemed super happy to hear that Jesus loves her, praising and trusting that God will continue to work at UT.
He ministered in me by giving me a firm conviction to follow through with something that was on my heart for a while, to start a missional community within my major.
What God did in me was to not lose his wonder. What he did through me was to use my skills to connect with other like-minded ones.
God really opened my eyes just to how varied the body of Christ really looks like. In the book of Revelation, John describes the present before God's throne is every tongue, tribe, and nation. That became very real for me during Res Week. I find myself around many people who look like me, from church to Bible studies to the campus ministry I'm a part of. But the Lord showed me how he moves through and communicates, just as he does with me, with every culture. I can have brothers and sisters who look nothing like me. How beautiful is that? How my brother from China and my sister from India and me, born and raised in San Antonio with a Jewish background, can all jump into a tent and worship the same God between classes. How cool is that? Res Week has been such a huge blessing and a beautiful reminder that we are the literal hands and feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what an honor it is to serve our God.
God was able to use me by gift of outreach. I had spiritual conversations with people and made new connections with future brothers and sisters.
I helped out with outreach and was able to talk to several people. A cool story I would like to share, which I'm sure is common from Res Weeks, is a young man from Kazakhstan was in line to get some free coffee. I felt the Lord prompting me to talk to him. I asked him what he was getting, and he said coffee. I asked him how he heard about the event, and he said he heard the music from the PCL library. I smiled and said, cool. He didn't know what the event was about. I told him what Res Week was, and he asked if it was about Jesus. I said yes. He seemed a little familiar with Jesus, but not very much. He is an exchange student. I invited him back the following evenings, and he said he would check it out. Totally God.
I put a lot of references to mythology and other parts of scripture into my mural. On Wednesday, I had some classics and philosophy friends come over who then proceeded to bring their friends over just to chat about my Sharpie mural, what was in it, etc. The freedom y'all gave me to do what I wanted with my mural allowed me to reach out to a niche group of people. Thanks for the opportunity.
God granted me the gift of art and artistic expression, and through a mural, I was able to express a time of fear before I met God. And although I still sense fear, I at least have God to take that leap of faith with. This topic or concept connected with a couple of people on campus, and to my knowledge, inspired them that week to keep moving forward with God.
I was doubting my ability to serve in ministry next year, the week before Res Week. I knew the next step of faith was to lead others to follow God by discipling people, but I just felt inadequate. However, after the sermon on Why Not Me, I feel reassured that God fully equips everyone to lead others. I have faith that God will use our generation to bring a revival, not just in our ministry and UT campus, but the U.S. and even the world.
Res Week opened my eyes to the amazing opportunity placed before me on the 40 acres to spread the gospel. It also helped me realize the awesome, diverse community of believers I have around me.
I brought a pre-believing friend on Sunday and Thursday night. I presented the gospel to her on Sunday night. She did not commit to trusting in Christ, but said she'd been thinking about it. I also had a conversation with a guy looking at one of the boards.
Being on outreach team, I had the opportunity to speak with someone who was raised Catholic but fell away from the faith for about 45 minutes. Aside from that, I was able to have some really good conversations with believers who had no idea that there was such a vibrant community of believers on campus. They were encouraged to be much more involved, and I pray that God will continue this work in their hearts beyond the time of Res Week. Glory to God.
Hope you all enjoyed that. Really wanted it to be a public testimony, almost like our Psalms of Ascent, to say, here's what stirs in the hearts of people as they gather to worship. These are testimonies that we hear every single year as we gather the body of Christ at UT, at our catalytic events, and particularly at our Res Week. And the last bit of our time, I just want to show you a couple things that we do at Res Week at UT. These are not to say that any campus has to do these things. We want you to seek God and pray about what God wants you to do on your campus. But it can give you at least maybe some inspiration, some ideas and thoughts. And then I want to close with just a few tips and pointers. So I'll show you some pictures from what we do. One of the things that we do is we have a 24-hour house of prayer. So we pitch a tent right in the middle of campus. And for 24 hours a day for 5 days, so it ends up being just over 100 hours, we pray nonstop. Folks praying in the prayer tent. We also have intercessory prayer. We've added this in recent years where there's just a table where people can come and receive prayer. And students are there volunteering different hours to pray for people that come by. And then we have a 24-hour coffee house where we serve coffee 24 hours a day, coffee, cocoa, and tea, free, and serve thousands of cups literally every single day. It's a great way just to connect with people and offer them something free. And what most commonly happens is people say, come get their coffee and go, why are y'all doing this? What is this? And it's just your opportunity to tell them about Res Week and tell them about Christ. We serve $1 lunches and $1 dinners. And so we always have a long line of people that are kind of gathering around each night and each day just to get some cheap food. You know, students love cheap food. We've got a question. In the lines, you said? Oh, yeah, faculty, staff, just general UT people. Yeah, definitely. Then we have these giant free speech boards. This is kind of one of the main outreach components to it, where we pose different questions and people can write different sarcastic things and funny things and meaningful things. And we have undercover people that are designed every hour that are there just simply to walk up to people that are writing or reading just to start conversations with them. It's a huge part of the week. Great conversations that take place 24 hours a day. We have performing artists, so we have students that play their own music and do poetry for a couple hours every day in the middle of the afternoon, just right by the coffee house. So as people are milling around and going to and from class and having lunch and all the things that are happening there at once, there's great artistic expression that's out there. In addition to the performing arts, there's a visual arts component where we have these wonderful murals that are kind of going throughout the whole week. So they start with just blank slates, and then you see them just continue to build on this art. Best part is seeing people come up, and even some of the testimonies you heard, students coming up and just saying, what is this? What are you working on? What does it mean? And they're getting to have their own spiritual conversations and really worship God in a way that many artists rarely get the chance to do. And then in the evening, we have just our giant worship gathering, some of those you saw in the video, where just everyone comes together for united worship. Different bands from the different ministries lead every night. We try to get the same speaker to speak all nights if possible. But that's a little picture for Res Week UT. I'm happy to answer any questions and stuff outside of this time or at dinner if you want to know more or anything like that. We probably won't have time here before we break for our groups. But I want to inspire you with that vision and those stories and now give you a couple practical things here in closing. When you think about catalytic events on your campus, there's basically three types, I would say. One would be one that's more evangelistic. And so you're basically saying, we want to create an event that actually is more evangelistic in nature. Maybe coupled with evangelistic, you might could also put social or something that might be cause-based. That would be a great way to do a catalytic event. We did something this last year called The Maze. We did something called Girls Night Out this last year. Both of those were very evangelistic events where the aim was to share the gospel and bring a lot of our unbelieving friends. Second category would be worship, where you've really got a gathering that's primarily for the believers, where you're calling the believers to repentance, or you're casting a vision, or you're calling them to fast and to pray, or whatever it would be, something that's designed really for the Christian community to catalyze them and move them in the direction that you feel like God's leading you. And then there's a third category that you might call like a hybrid. I would look at Res Week actually as kind of a hybrid. Within the whole context of the week, there's a lot of the evangelistic components that are happening, But there's also a lot of speaking to the believers in the public settings and the prayer settings and the opportunities for fellowship that take place throughout the week. So just general categories as you're thinking about it. Some other categories, I already mentioned this at the very, very start, but calendared. There can be very calendared events. And I would really say this is a great aim for you to have, to get to a point where on your campus you've got a few calendared events every year. So for instance, in the fall, we know that the first Thursday in October that does not conflict with Texas OU weekend is our all-campus worship event. And our campus minister, we have this campus minister luncheon where hundreds of the college pastors come together. So that's calendared every single year. We know that the last Thursday in February is always the Collegiate Day of Prayer. And so that's calendar. We know what's going to happen. We know now that Res Week is always going to be the last week of March. And so those are calendared events that we know year to year. And what happens with a calendared event, you can start to build momentum. And then, you know, some of it's just like, well, we weren't ready for that or we didn't have a plan for it. Well, then, okay, we'll plan on it next year because it's happening again. And these could be local things that you establish, or they could be national things like we're asking you to do with the Collegiate Day of Prayer and with Res Week, that not only just on your campus, but campuses all across America will commit to the same day, the same time, the same week. Then there's also what I call spontaneous events. This is as you get your Leader Connect groups going, you've got students that are praying together from all the different ministries. You might dream up something that's spontaneous, and one year you do it, and the next year you don't. But as God leads you into prayer, you respond to something that you need to do, and you calendar it, you make it an event spontaneous to whatever God puts on your heart to do. Finally, a few little tips. Not too many events. One of the things that can get a little bit bogged down is if you start to create too many events along the path. Sometimes that can actually hurt the momentum of the whole body of Christ, and so it's a delicate balance of doing enough events that catalyze movement, but not too much events that they kind of either distract from each other or distract from other things that the whole body of Christ is doing. Another tip would be it's not for everyone. One of the things that you have to do is you have to do what God puts on your heart and create an event. And there's going to be some ministries that say, yeah, we want to join you in this. And there's going to be some that don't. And you got to give grace to those that don't want to do it. And just say, that's okay. If you don't want to be a part of it, we're still going forward with it. And just trust that's okay. And secretly trust that as this event gains momentum, they're going to see the value of it. And they're going to jump on board whenever God changes their heart to continue to be generous and kind toward everyone and invite everyone to be a part of it. But know that not everyone's going to. Another tip that I think is important is having outside voices as much as you can to have someone from the outside come and speak to your group. One of the benefits of outside voices is they can say some things and get away with some things that you couldn't. And so if you bring Jeremy to your campus to speak, he can ruffle some feathers and get some stuff started on the campus that you might not be able to. I say that a little bit sarcastically, but we have found it to be really true that if you can bring an outside voice, work with someone like Ravi Zacharias Ministries or work with Veritas or work with us. Get someone from the outside to come in that can speak into the movement on your campus can be really, really helpful. Last thing, this is probably the most important thing when you think about catalytic events, is make them catalytic. The reason we use that word and we keep repeating it as catalytic is we don't want to do events for event's sake. It's not like we've just got to do an event. Like I already said, event, you don't want to slip into thinking the event is what unifies you. Unity is what's taking place behind the scenes as the body of Christ is in relationship with one another, praying and seeking God together. The events are more a celebration of the unity that's already there. And so as such, you want to make sure that the events are actually pushing people into the more ongoing movement of missional communities, ongoing movement of mobilized prayer. And so whatever you're doing on your campus to mobilize prayer and to mobilize missional communities, you want to use your events to always be pushing people into those two avenues. So think strategically about how you can plan your events to really bring more life to the ongoing movement that God's doing on your campus. Honestly, that's all that I was going to share. That's Res Week and catalytic events.